And I'm in Kenton County, Kentucky. Today's date is February 9th, 1984, and I'm talking to Dee Rosing. Dee, are you agreeable to being interviewed on tape?
Yes.
Just to make sure my records are correct, Dee, would you spell your full name?
E-D-Y-T-H-E-R-O-S-I-N-G.
And are you married, Dee?
Yes, and I have six daughters.
You have six daughters? And what are their names?
Stephanie, Lisa, Patty, Kathy, Sarah, and Susie.
And what is your husband's name, Dee?
Paul Rosing. P-A-U-L-R-O-S-I-N-G.
What do you work?
Yes, I'm a home ec assistant for the Kenton County Extension Service.
Okay. And Paul, what does he do? What is his occupation?
He's an accountant for Procter & Gamble.
You said you have six daughters. Are any of them married, Dee?
Two are married, and I have two grandchildren.
Two grandchildren?
Mm-hmm.
Boy and girl?
Right.
Right. Good guess. what is your address here?
It's 3054 Village Drive, Edgewood, Kentucky.
And how long have you lived here?
12 years.
12 years?
Mm-hmm.
And where did you live before that?
In Tunkhannock, Pennsylvania. T-U-N-K-H-A-N-N-O-C-K.
Were you from Pennsylvania, or were you from, where were you from?
From Fort Thomas.
From Fort Thomas?
Right.
And how about your parents? Were they from Fort Thomas, or?
My mother was from Bellevue, Kentucky, and my father was from Newport. And then we lived in Bellevue during my younger years, and then we moved to Fort Thomas.
I see. And what was your mother and father, their names?
Vivian and Herman Riesenberg.
And can you spell that for me?
V-I-V-I-A-N. And Herman, H-E-R-M-A-N, and Riesenberg, R-I-E-S-E-N-B-E-R-G.
And what was your mother's maiden name?
Ehalt, E-H-A-L-T.
Do you mind if I ask you how old you are, Dee?
I'm 47.
47? Uh-huh. And when was your birthday?
October 23rd, 1936. That does make me 47, doesn't it?
Right.
Okay.
Where did you go to school?
For grade school, I went to St. Anthony's in Bellevue. And for high school, I went to La Salette Academy in Covington. And then I went like a year to Villa Madonna.
Villa Madonna?
College.
College.
Mm-hmm.
And where was that located?
In Covington.
In Covington?
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk a little bit about your quilting, Dee. When did you first start to quilt, and who taught you? Did you take a class?
I was 16, and my grandmother taught me.
Your grandmother
right.
taught you?
I admired her a whole lot, and she just thought that no girl should get married unless she knew how to bake bread and quilt. So she taught me.
And what was her name?
It was Edith Ehalt.
Edith Ehalt?
And she spelled her name E-D-I-T-H.
E-D-I-T-H.
Mm-hmm.
Were you named after her?
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm. I don't know how that happened, that they switched the spelling that they did.
Do you have any brothers and sisters, Dee?
I have three brothers, Jim, Mark, and Paul.
Jim, Mark, and
mm-hmm.
Paul? Was your grandmother from Bellevue?
I believe that she was. No, she was from Oldenburg.
Oldenburg?
Indiana.
Oldenburg, Indiana?
Right.
Uh-huh.
And my grandfather was, too.
Is that right?
Right. And then they moved here, and I don't even know the reason. So.
Okay. How about your mother? Did she do any quilting?
No, she worked all the time, and she just really didn't have time to do that. She did crocheting, though, but she never did quilt.
Did she?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. What quilt, you know, when your grandmother taught you how to quilt, what
uh-huh.
did you, what kind of a pattern did you use, or what was your first quilt?
The first quilt I made was a very elaborate quilt called the Horn of Plenty, and we We got the pattern from a book, and she helped me with it. And it took me 7 years to complete it. But
yeah. 7 years is a long time.
Right.
Did you get discouraged doing this?
Yeah, it went so slow that, you know, I would, I guess I did get discouraged, you know, that's why I did. But once I saw it completed, then, you know,
you were very proud of it.
I was very proud of it. And then at that time, when I did finish it, there was a girl in Fort Thomas who was from down in Kentucky someplace, and she was making a sunbonnet too. And that was like that's a fast one. You can get that done real fast, you know. So she had a little girl and I had a little girl, and that started me making the sunbonnet suit. And then that sparked me up because I could complete those a lot faster. Say, 3 months, you could have a quilt finished.
In 3 months?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
So that's when, then I made, I finished six sunbonnet suits, one for each girl.
Is that
yeah.
right?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. This first quilt that you did was an applique
right.
quilt.
Right.
Right. Was your grandmother an exacting teacher?
I wouldn't say she was. She loved it, and I think that just passed on to me. She loved doing it, and that, you know. And
she
I picked
passed
that,
that
up
on
her.
To
yeah.
you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Where do you get your patterns?
Quilt shops.
Quilt shops?
Right, quilt shops.
Do you have any that maybe were handed down to you from your
no,
grandmother?
No.
No.
Uh-uh.
Since you started quilting, you know, when you were 16, have you quilted all the time?
Well, I quilted off and on in those younger years. And then when I was in Fort Thomas, I was on this sunbonnet suit. And then when I moved to Pennsylvania, it was in a little town that we lived in the county seat, and there were only 2,000 people there. And there wasn't much to do. So the church was like a center. And they used to have baking bees and quilting bees, and it was a social thing. And I started up again. You know, just I really was getting the bug.
So you went to these quilting
bees? Yeah, right.
Bees.
Mm-hmm.
And tell me a little bit about the quilting bees, Dee. What were they like?
Well, like three people would sit on each side of the quilt, and you would just quilt and talk and have a good time. Maybe some people would be in the kitchen. Usually it was for a bazaar.
They quilted?
We had a Christmas bazaar that was a real big thing up there. And people would bring like these huge sacks of flour, and they would just make bread and make bread and make bread to sell at this bazaar. And then there would be another group out in the hall that would be quilting.
I see.
And so that's how I...
So you quilted all day?
Oh, no. Evening. Any evening. They would bake all day, but we would... Yeah.
Have you... You talked about a quilting bee. Have you ever heard of a quilting party?
Yeah, years and years and years ago. Where the women would come and they would bring a covered dish,
uh-huh.
and they would try to complete a quilt in a day or so,
uh-huh.
and it would be for somebody's birthday or for a wedding or whatever, and then the men would be out in the barn doing something, and then they would have this big covered dish supper at night, and then I think they had like square dancing or something
mm-hmm.
after that.
Do you quilt all the time now, or
I quilt about an hour a day.
About an hour a day,
and I usually do that before I go to bed, up in my bedroom.
In your bedroom?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
I always have something going. You know, a project going.
A project.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Where do you get your, or let's talk a little bit about the materials and so on that you use in your quilting. What type of fabric, for instance, do you prefer to use, and where do you get it?
I like a good grade of fabric. I think it makes all the difference in the world. And I like to use all cotton.
Okay. Where do you get your fabric, Dee?
I like to go to quilt shops.
To quilt shops?
Mm-hmm.
Is there any particular reason that you like to go to quilt shops?
Well, I just think your choice is in need.
They've got a shop. Selection?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Well, and it just, your patterns are so, they're just a little bit different than what you would get at a regular shop like Peace Goods.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You like to use 100% cotton. What about batting? What types of batting do you use or have you used, and do you prefer one over the other?
In the first quilt I made, I used the cotton batting, but after that I used the polyester fiber, and I like that better because it's fluffier.
Okay. Is there a particular brand that you use?
I always use Mountain Mist.
Mountain Mist?
Mm-hmm.
And what about thread, Dee?
I use regular sewing thread to piece and to applique, and then I use quilting thread to quilt.
Okay. Any particular color quilting thread?
Usually I use white.
The white?
Mm-hmm.
And what type of, when you back your quilts or your projects, what do you use for backing?
Now I'm using unbleached muslin, just a good grade of unbleached muslin.
Good grade of unbleached muslin?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you're ready to finish your quilt, how do you finish the quilt? Do you use a binding or?
I like to use the fabric.
The fabric?
The fabric of the quilt, not a binding, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, and I do bind it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you make your own binding or do you just bring the binding over?
I like to bring it over.
You like to bring it
over?
Because
it's faster, right?
Okay. When you are marking your quilts, mm-hmm. you know, to be quilted, what do you use to mark them with?
I use a blue marking pencil that you can remove with a damp cloth.
With a damp cloth?
Mm-hmm.
And have you had any problem?
As long as you don't touch an iron to it, you won't have a problem. But if you touch an iron to it, it's all over.
It's all over?
Right.
Uh-huh. Okay. You said that you made, you know, you have pieced and you've done applique. Which do you prefer to do?
I used to prefer to applique, but now I would rather piece, and I really think it takes more skill because it's more exacting.
Okay. Do you machine piece or hand piece?
I do cheat in the machine piece.
You feel that's cheating?
I feel it's cheating.
And when you applique, what kind of a stitch do you use to
applique? A blind stitch.
A blind stitch.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard of the term Kentucky quilt? If
yes.
So, what do you think this refers to?
Well, I would think it would refer to a pattern that would have been in the area for a long time, or that they would have found several quilts like that in the area.
Do you know of any particular patterns, or can you name any offhand that you think might refer to a Kentucky quilt, or be a Kentucky quilt pattern?
Well, I would say that Kentucky honeybee, or the Lexington dogwood, or I would think that that Dutchman's puzzle would too.
The Dutchman's puzzle?
Mm-hmm. I would think that it would.
Do you have any favorite books, Dee, that you, know, books on quilting?
I love this Kentucky. It's a book about Kentucky quilts, and it just has a lot of Kentucky patterns. Now, I love that one. But I more just go to the quilt shops and just, you know, spend an afternoon looking, yeah.
Do you, have you ever designed any of your own quilts?
Yes, I did.
Did you? And what was?
It was an applique, and it was tulips.
tulips?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And I gave it as a gift.
Did you enjoy doing that?
I did.
Making up your own design?
I did.
You said that you gave this as a gift. Do most of the projects that you do, or the quilts that you do, do you ever sell any, or
no,
do you give them
no.
as gifts?
I will give them as gifts to someone I care a whole lot about.
And why is that?
Because it takes so much time, and I would have to know that the person would appreciate it. A lot of times people don't realize the time and the work and the love that goes into a quilt, and unless they have an appreciation of it, I wouldn't bother to.
It takes an awful lot of time,
right,
doesn't
it? It really does.
How about magazines? Is there any magazine that you...
That Quilters Quarterly.
Quilters Quarterly?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I get that. And I might pick them up at a stand, but I don't have any subscriptions other than to that Quilters Quarterly.
Okay, now the Quilters Quarterly comes from...
The National Quilting Association.
The National Quilting
mm-hmm.
Association.
Or is it... Is that what it is? Yeah, okay.
And that's a group that you belong to.
Right.
Do you belong to any other quilt
no,
groups?
No, I don't.
No?
No.
Do you ever quilt for other people?
No.
No?
Mm-mm.
Do you have any old quilts?
I have one that's about 70 years old.
That's
that was my grandmother's, and it's the double wedding ring.
Double wedding
mm-hmm.
ring?
And it's done in pastel.
And this was the grandmother who taught you
right.
how to quilt?
Right.
Quilt?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And it's in pretty bad shape now. It's got quite a few holes in it. But I still enjoy it. And I keep it draped over a love seat in our bedroom.
And
we use it, too.
Oh, do you?
We still, yeah,
uh-huh.
we use it.
Mm. Do you plan to do anything with it, you know, when it gets to the point that...
Well, I will take the good parts and maybe make things out of it, quilted items out of it, the good parts. But not till it's completely shot.
Have you ever entered anything in a show or contest?
Just the Kenton County Fair.
Kenton County Fair?
Mm-hmm.
And why do you enter your things in the fair?
I think I'm drawn to anything that's sort of country or colonial, and that seems like a really quaint and country thing to do, to enter the fair. And so so I've entered for the last 5 years.
And what have you entered? Anything in particular?
This Horn of Plenty quilt, which is the first one, which makes me feel really bad. I always enter it in antique quilts.
Uh-huh.
And it usually wins.
Is that right?
But, you know, it makes me feel bad because it... I made it. Did I enter into the antique quilt?
And you're not really that old,
right?
Are you? I noticed this quilt that you have, the Horn of Plenty, has reds and greens
mm-hmm.
and yellows. Do you prefer any particular colors?
I like bright colors, reds, blues, greens, yellows. I like because I think that it just shows up, the work shows up more than with the pastel. And then there's something about Pennsylvania Dutch that I'm drawn to, too.
Probably from having lived there
right,
in
right,
that area?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Have you ever heard any superstitions or folk tales connected with particular colors used in quilts?
Not with colors. I've heard other folk tales, but not associated with the color.
What are some of the folk tales that you've heard? Can you think of any offhand?
What did they used to do? Bounce a cat on the quilt, and if it got off near somebody, that would be the next person to get married. That when you first sleep under a new quilt, the dream you dream is going to come true.
Is that right?
So there were just a lot of.
Uh-huh. Were these things that you read or?
Things that I read.
That you read?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. You don't remember anything that maybe your grandmother may have told you?
She might have mentioned things like that.
Did she?
She.
Uh-huh. What type of a quilt stitch Do you use the...
Okay, I'm a rocker.
You're a rocker?
I'm a rocker. I think with the stab stitch, you can get smaller stitches, but the rocking stitch just seems to go a lot faster. So that's what I do.
Okay. And do you use a frame or a hoop?
I use a hoop, a large hoop.
A large hoop?
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever do any lap quilting?
Yes, I do. My first quilt, the Horn of Plenty, was done on my lap. I just basted it, you know, like every 3 inches in a grid pattern, and then I just did it on my lap. And now I do small things on my lap like that.
But larger pieces you do?
I do it in the hoop.
Do you find it's easier to do it in a hoop now, you know, with the larger pieces?
Because I learned on my lap, I find it easier to do.
Do
just
you?
On my lap.
Uh-huh.
Because that was how I learned. Had I learned on a hoop, I probably would have found that to be the easier way. I think it's how you learn something.
Mm-hmm. What do you think makes a good quilt?
When I see a quilt, I look for uniformity of stitches, of the quilting stitches. If it's an applique, I look for that it's smooth and doesn't have any little points sticking out. I'll look for accuracy in a pieced pattern. But more important, I enjoy going to this quilting bees at the church, but a quilt that comes out of a quilting bee like that, somebody will have big stitches and somebody will have little stitches, and if I were going to have a quilt quilted, I'd never do that. I'd have one person quilt it.
One person?
So that you have the same stitches
mm-hmm.
throughout. And I look for that more than anything. Uniformity of quilting stitches.
Okay. Have you ever taught anybody to quilt?
I taught classes, 3 semesters of classes at Thomas More College.
And where is that?
It's in Edgewood, Kentucky.
In Edgewood?
Mm-hmm.
And what type of projects did you work on?
Well, the first project was like a little potholder where they would learn colors, and they would piece that and then quilt it and just complete it. Then they would go to the Kentucky Star, and then they would make a cathedral window pincushion thing, and then they would go to the folded star. And the last thing they would do would be an applique hearts and tulips. And that could be whatever they wanted, a hoop or a pillow top or anything. But it was interesting to me because the one that they liked the most was the folded star. And that was that wasn't really traditional quilting, I didn't think. But they did like that. And I enjoyed teaching the quilting so much because there's just a feeling of friendship
mm-hmm.
in a group when everybody's sitting around quilting.
Do you think you'll teach another class?
I was approached to teach in Covington last semester, but that kind of fell through. And now I'm going to teach at St. Pius.
Are you?
And that's our church in Edgewood.
Is that right?
Uh-huh.
How many people do you have in your class?
Okay, I only take 10 so I can get around to each one.
You feel the individual attention is...
Right, and that's just like a nice size group where they all get to know each other.
What do you think is the value of quilting?
It's therapy for me. I just really calm down and I enjoy it. You know, that's what it is for me. But I think that people are looking for stronger family values. And I think back when people quilted and did so many things in the home, I think that there was a stronger family unit. And I think people are looking for that now.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's one of the reasons for that recent, what would you call it?
Change or trend
toward mm-hmm.
quilting?
Mm-hmm.
People doing more things with their hands.
Right.
Uh-huh.
People are looking for more basic values, I think.
And I
think, you know, doing things with your hands.
And this is represented in the trend to quilting.
Right.
Now. Mm-hmm. Do you ever embroider on your quilts?
The Horn of Plenty has some a little embroidery. I don't go for an all embroidered quilt, but a little embroidery. And then the Sunbonnet Sue had a little embroidery on it.
Do you ever sign your quilts?
I signed all the Sunbonnet Sues, and I would sign it with the child's name, and then from me, and then the year. Now I didn't sign any of the other quilts, but now I am starting to again with them. I use a small D, and then I go into two E's. And I sign anything like that that I make, enameling or anything that I do, I sign like that.
So that's kind of your own...
My own little logo thing, or whatever you call
logo.
It. Yeah.
For a minute, I kind of forget that I left you this time. How many quilts would you say that you've made, Dee?
Well, I made the 6 Sunbonnet Sues, and then I made this Horn of Plenty, then I made a red and white applique Hawaiian pattern. And then I made that tulips one that I designed. I made several baby quilts. And then one time I made for my daughter a friendship quilt. She took several blocks to school and her friends would sign them. And then we embroidered the names. And then we would put like a little thing on it for each name. Like if they lived on a farm, we put a silo. Or maybe we put a flower. And then I put it all together and quilted it for her graduation.
Oh, that sounds like a neat idea.
Yeah, she really enjoyed it. She still treasures it.
Does she?
Uh-huh.
So. Is there anything that you can think of, Dee, that you would like to add, you know, to this tape?
Nothing except that I just really feel this is an honor. And it's meant something to me.
It's been a pleasure for me to talk to you, Dee, and I really thank you for the interview.
Well, thank you.